Hello, I'm Katie Piper, and welcome to my podcast, Katie Piper's Extraordinary People. Each episode, I'll meet an amazing person with an incredible story who faced adversity and came through the other side to inspire others. I'm sat opposite somebody who is very extraordinary. For me, she's very inspiring. She's got a hugely successful career, but she also manages to be a very dedicated mother. So anybody who has children will know how difficult it is to juggle life, and she does it so well. She's a Sunday Times number one best-selling author. She's a vlogger and presenter. For anyone who hasn't guessed yet, it's Giovanna Fletcher.
Hello.
Hi.
I am your number one stalker. Who knows everything about you? But for people listening who might not have stalked you as much as me, could you tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do?
I am an author. So I started as an actress, and then was bored of the phone not ringing. Right. So I decided to start writing. Mm-hmm. Ended up, through a lot of hard work, getting signed to Penguin. So I've written a lot of fiction books, many fiction books.
And you're a real writer.
I'm a real writer. I sit down in my PJs and I do write. Nowadays, you just never know.
Yeah.
But I'm a real writer. And then I also write nonfiction. I've had a nonfiction book called Happy Mum, Happy Baby, which is a really honest account from me about how I found motherhood or have been found it up to that point. Mm-hmm. And then that launched a podcast called Happy Mum, Happy Baby, where I bring people on and let them be honest.
It's something that you're really talented at because I follow you on Insta Story and I am always quite sort of encapsulated by your stories, and you're very real. I don't feel like your stories are prepared, shot and reposted I genuinely feel like I'm in your office or in your kitchen, wherever you are, and you'll post, and I always get hooked on it and listen to the whole story and I check it throughout the day. So there's something you have that kind of makes me feel like I'm your friend. Does that sound a bit creepy?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. And I think years ago, when I first started on Instagram, like looking around, I just felt like everyone else was perfect and getting it right. And I felt so inadequate because I was getting it wrong, and I didn't quite fit into that picture perfect. I never really have. And actually, when I first started sharing, honestly, just the response was amazing. It just felt like there's a freedom in honesty and in just being yourself and being able to just pick up a camera and talk to it like it's your friend. Mm-hmm. And actually, when I started vlogging my first YouTube video, when I took this camera away, the first piece of advice Tom ever gave me, because he was doing it, was treat the camera like it's your friend.
Right, and Tom's your husband.
Yeah, sorry. And he was vlogging at the time. And actually, that camera is your friend because it's that link to another person. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I started doing that when Buzz was 6 months old, my first child. And suddenly I didn't feel alone anymore.
How many children do you have now?
Three boys. Yeah, 5, 3, and then 8 months.
8 months. Oh, my goodness. That's so early days. Still, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the nice things is that I do feel from your social media, I know not everything, but I know little bite-sized bits about the kids and the family and stuff. Is it hard? I mean, like, because obviously everyone has their boundaries and they share things.
Yeah.
You are very transparent. Do you feel a pressure when you're sharing content?
No. And my whole thing is if I doubt something when I'm sharing it, if it makes me feel funny, if I'm writing a post or sharing a photo, if something doesn't feel right, I will not post.
Yeah.
So you I think go that's that my, gut. That's, yeah, that's my gut instinct leads the way. And
what sort of things wouldn't feel right for you?
If it was something that was too exposing of the kids.
Right. Okay.
I don't like when people call their kids names.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. I wouldn't want anything on there that makes the kids look stupid. Mm-hmm. Kind of puts them down in some way.
Yeah, like ridicules
them. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. I don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I always think the way when I look at your social and I think, yeah, you are really honest. And when I post stuff that I feel is honest, I feel like you're less likely to get criticised or hurt on social media. Mm. So for example, if I put a picture of me up with no makeup, I feel more protected doing that than I do dressed up, because I think, well, this is me. I've shown that I'm not that bothered.
Yeah.
So you can't really say anything bad about it because I'm not photoshopping or pretending I'm something else.
Yeah.
You know? So it almost feels safer.
I couldn't be like, I want to say this. Oh no, I can't because I've got no makeup on. I'd have no content because I literally live with my hair in a messy bun, like, or just shoved on my hair. I can't even call it a bun, just a nest.
Mum bum. Yeah.
Yeah, and no makeup on.
Yeah.
That is great that you do feel that you can do that. And I suppose what you're doing without even trying to is you're making it okay for other people as well. Mm. And that you don't have to be something you're not. And I suppose whether you're in the public eye or not, we all suffer that in our own social circles.
Yeah. Yeah, we always, I think maybe that's an age thing though. I think growing up, I was badly bullied and, right. You know, I think that kind of instilled in me this thing of needing to be liked and be accepted and fitting in with everyone.
Was that school age?
Yeah. It started when I was 7. And I think as an adult, that kind of continued. And then it's only since having kids, really, that I've kind of gone, I'm me.
Yeah.
And actually this, and maybe it's spending a lot of time on my own as well, writing.
Yeah.
You kind of have to just accept who you are. And there's something really freeing in that. And you just release so much like negativity and like just these negative thoughts, your anxiety that you're holding on to that are just nonsense.
Because the opinions, I suppose, are irrelevant because that's not your worth, is it? So it's not really relevant. I sometimes think for me, it might be having children set me free of that because they love me no matter what. Mm. So I can kind of like take a deep breath of relief and say it's okay because they're the only people that matter.
Yeah.
So it kind of, you don't really need that attention or that validation of anyone else.
No. And it's even stuff like, you know, when you're a mum and you've got your squishy tummy.
Yeah.
I was laying down.
When they tell you.
Well, yeah, I was like, and if anyone else, if it's someone on social media or some stranger in the street sort of mentioned about my squidgy tummy, I'd be a bit like, oh, that's a bit inappropriate. I don't know how I feel about this. But I was literally laying on the sofa the other day and Buzz was laying on me and it was in my pyjamas, but they'd kind of ridden up a little bit. So I had a little, like a couple of inches of my tummy and he was just there with his fingers, like digging them in. And he was like, I love your tummy.
Oh,
it's
that's
so
cute.
Squishy. I was like, oh. Well, it grew you, so it makes me very happy.
But what a nice open conversation to have.
Yeah.
And it's kind of normal and, you know, he can say that to you and you can talk to him about that. That's
because I do want them to see things like that. You know, I think it's, you know, if you want to look for perfection that's not real, that's all been photoshopped, great, you can find those places. But I think it's so important that we also see the truth, what bodies look like.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I think frustrates me is when it's dressed up to be something it's not. So, you know, I wouldn't name people because that's not fair, but there's some fitness accounts I see where they're celebrating women that are heavily pregnant who don't gain any weight anywhere on their body. And you think this is a pro Anna page, really, but it's dressing up to be like, isn't she strong? Isn't she empowered? And okay, everyone has naturally different metabolisms, different bodies, but actually celebrating somebody who didn't gain any weight in a pregnancy is medically quite worrying.
Well, and how does that make other women feel? I can remember being pregnant at the same time of someone else who was on the front page of OK, and they were celebrating the fact that she'd only gained 5 pounds in the whole of her pregnancy.
Scary.
And I was like, how?
It's a medical problem.
The baby's
it's a
more
disease.
Than that.
Yeah. But I feel like when I look at your all of the things you've done, I just think it's great because it's kind of like where career meets passion.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're a successful author with your fiction books, but then you also have this platform where you're just kind of just being honest and everyone's sort of following it and they're getting a lot of help from it. And I sometimes think with that comes quite a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
And I wondered, is it hard for you? You know, you've just given birth 8 months ago. You're still postnatal, you know, for, is it 12 months?
I don't know, but I'll claim it.
Yeah. I feel like it's longer because I'm 17 months and I still don't feel like pre-pregnancy, you know, in my mind. And I wondered, is it a big responsibility for you? Because I was comparing it to me because of the things that I've been very open about in my life. On a daily basis, I will get DMs about rape, sexual abuse, acid violence. And I have found it hard, you know, and I wonder, do you have to carry this big thing on your shoulders where you're helping other women through quite difficult things?
Yeah, I think in terms of actual online, I try and see it as, you know, each picture is kind of opening a conversation. So hopefully in the sort of comments, people can, even if they're not adding to it, read other people's points of view and kind of take something away from it. I think the time that I feel not pressure, but the weight of other people's emotions is on book tours.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah, because you're meeting people, and you know everyone wants to tell you something, and I feel like I want them to be able to share because they've read so much of me, and I know that having read the book or listened to the podcast, which aren't my stories, the podcast, they've taken, comfort from something Davina said or, you know, mm-hmm. other people. And they just get so overwhelmed that they want to share. So at mm-hmm. the end of those signings, I do feel quite drained.
Yeah.
But in terms of pressure, I feel like I am alleviating the pressure for other people mm-hmm. by saying, well, you're not in it on your own.
Yeah.
You know, you're not alone. Because I think that's what I felt so much first time around with Buzz, that I was on my own. I was the only one failing. I was the only one struggling mm-hmm. with this new role as a mum, even though I thought I was the most maternal person I knew.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly I had this baby who wouldn't breastfeed. Like, well, he did eventually, but it was 6 weeks of hell.
Right.
And, you know, and I thought that was just me. I didn't know that other people struggled. I didn't know that other people kind of looked at the baby and sort of thought, what have I done? Mm-hmm. You know,
it takes away shame and embarrassment.
Yeah, there's nothing
it?
To be ashamed of. Yeah. And now so many people are talking about maternal mental health. Mm-hmm. You know, Louis Theroux's about to, his
I know,
documentary
I saw that.
Is on
yeah.
on Sunday. And, but I mean, the statistics are shocking when it mm-hmm. comes to, you know, new mums and suicide. Mm-hmm. And I just think if my platform can help alleviate that stress, that pressure, that judgment, that shame, then amazing.
So who looks after you then if you come off a book tour and it is quite emotionally demanding and it's draining?
At the end of a book tour, I would literally like a dark room.
Yeah.
A glass
okay.
of wine.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. But I've just started running.
I saw on your page and I was like, oh my God, she's on bloody holiday and she's running.
Well, it's because I had 6 weeks to go until this 10K.
But you're running quite fast as well.
Well, I'm just going with it.
You were listening to a Olivia Coleman podcast.
Yeah, so it was David Tennant and Olivia Coleman. Yeah. I was just chuckling away. And I thought, because the night before I'd literally posted about the fact that I love that feeling that comes at the end of the run.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, ah, this is, you know, look, I've done it, I've achieved.
It's quite uplifting.
Yeah. But actual running feels a bit like,
yeah. And putting like one foot in front of the other is so dull. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you running with Bryony Gordon?
Yes.
Yeah. She does like marathons, half marathons. Like, that's hard.
Every day in America, 60 million packages are delivered. But we don't always know what's inside.
He bent down to pick the package up. That's when the device detonated.
Danger is everywhere, and no one is safe in Austin, Texas, as law enforcement hunts a serial bomber for 19 days. From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed. 19 Days. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
You may have heard of the podcast Juicy Scoop. Wondered what it is? Why aren't you listening? Well, I'm its host, created it, been doing it for 7 years. I'm Heather McDonald of Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald. Now, I could tell you why you should be listening to my show, but my listeners wanted to write the ad for me, and here are some of the things they said. Not your regular Juicy podcast. Catch up on all the juicy topics from Hollywood and pop culture to true crime and beyond. Heather McDonald's Juicy Scoop always has great guests, great laughs, and great gossip. It's a comedian's take on the hottest headlines. Juicy Scoop is the pop culture news you want to hear. No BS, no filter, no filler. Raw, real, and in the moment. Throw in the hilarity of amazing comedians that you'll instantly be obsessed with, a juicy crime story, and a dash of normal life in LA moments, and you've got yourself an amazing week of Juicy Scoop. Two episodes every week, every Tuesday and Thursday. It will never let you down.
I always think when you have kids, there's so many demands on you. And, you know, women who don't work are as busy as women that do, because it is a full-time job. And you're a PA, you know, you're doing all the sports clubs, the gymnastics, washing all the kit, you know, you're a PA to your kids. So you must get asked to do a lot of things, to do a lot of favours. And I don't just mean paid work, I mean to help charities, to help people. How do you stop yourself feeling bad, feeling overwhelmed?
So my DMs on Instagram and Facebook are literally full of requests.
I
literally can't look.
Same. Yeah. That gives me anxiety.
Yeah. I literally can't. And it's really sad that that's the case.
Mm.
But I just think you're better off doing something for three or four charities and putting your all in.
Agree. Yeah.
And really supporting those. Mm-hmm. Like Copperfield for me is a big one. You know, mm-hmm. I do their treks and I just think if we can get people checking their boobs, knowing it's not just a lump that they're looking for, then we can save lives and, you know, people don't have to die from breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So there are charities that I feel really passionately about. It doesn't mean that I don't want these other charities to do well, but it just means if I'm going to be the best, do the best that I can for these charities, I need to give that time to them.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
It is, but I suppose it's that lesson about if you spread yourself thinly, you're sort of helping nobody.
Yeah, exactly.
You?
And then what your messaging is so
weak.
So weak. Like, yeah. No one's going to pay attention.
Mm.
You know, and if people kind of see me and then think, oh, Copperfield, I better check my bet boobs, then that's amazing.
Yeah. And if that's what you represent in their mind to them, that's bit, you know, the box is ticked, you've done your job.
Yeah.
You know? But, and how do you cope not spreading yourself too thinly in all areas of your life? How do you keep a marriage together?
Yeah.
How do you get in the Sunday Times best-selling list and have happy children? And like, that's an amazing achievement to keep all those plates balanced.
Yeah, I think 2017 was a really busy year,
mm-hmm.
to the point where me and Tom were both just ridiculous. You know, we'd work all day. The kids would come home 4 till 7. We'd do the dinner.
And Tom writes as well,
yeah.
doesn't he?
Yeah. We'd all have dinner together. We'd put them to bed. And then 7 till midnight, maybe 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, we'd be writing and working again through to, like, you know, then go to bed. The kids would be up at 6. And it was just that cycle all the time.
Yeah.
So that was a really tough year. And then, and I'd always thought in my head, I will have a third baby within the next couple of years. But we hadn't thought about it. And then...
And you had a book you were writing at that time.
Yeah. It was really busy. So Happy Mum, Happy Baby had been out that year.
Mm-hmm.
And we started the podcast. And then literally the 2nd of January, 2018, I had this all these plans for that year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I knew it was manic. I knew we were literally on this hamster wheel and it was going to keep going. I didn't have an end sight. And I found out I was pregnant.
Oh, so it was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Right. And to be honest, that night I cried.
Yeah.
Because I just thought, I have all these plans that I'm just not going to be able to do. And then I saw on Instagram this post from a lady who had had a stillborn child.
Okay.
And I just thought, put it into perspective.
Yeah.
How amazing that, you know, I had a miscarriage before Buzz. How amazing that this has just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and from then on, that literally my whole attitude towards pregnancy completely changed.
Mm.
And it was having Max that completely slowed me down. Completely.
That's when social media is good, because actually, like you said, that was putting something into perspective for you that you did already know. It wasn't that you didn't understand
But
it's just that moment that you were meant to see it at that moment.
Yeah.
You know. And you talked quite openly about experiencing a miscarriage.
Mm.
Was that hard to talk about that? Was it painful?
I didn't talk about it until it was in the book.
Mm.
And to be honest, when I wrote it, I wasn't even sure that it was going to stay in.
Mm.
I just thought, let's talk candidly straight away, let's just sit down, write everything, what I thought I was going to be like as a mum, you know, having PCOS, falling pregnant the first time, the miscarriage, let's just write it all, you know, and all the other bits later on, how I just feel like a terrible mum. and then if I feel uncomfortable, I can take it out. If
it's a nice way to write, though, because it's more
freeing.
Authentic,
yeah,
isn't
it's freeing. It's just being honest. Just get it all out.
Mm.
And then at the end, I just thought, that makes me the mum I am. Like, that's a part of, I don't want to say mothering journey, but like that is a part of my experience in motherhood.
It's your journey, isn't it?
Yeah. And actually, there's something about having it in the book that tells the whole story that I didn't enjoy, but it did feel, it felt good to get it down, knowing as well that people would read it and be able to relate to it, how common it is, how many people feel like they can't talk about it.
Mm.
So it was actually, it went from being something that I wasn't sure if I was going to keep in to being something that I felt really, really passionate about keeping in.
Yeah, so almost adamant that it has to show this reality of what happened.
Yeah.
Does it make you, not, I don't want to say taint the pregnancy, but does it make you sort of live in fear in the pregnancy?
Oh, yeah, every pregnancy.
Mm.
Every pregnancy. And to be honest, I think that's why I'm done.
Yeah.
Because even with Max, I just thought, I'm pushing my luck to expect to have 3 healthy children.
Mm.
I just thought, you know, how amazing that I had two healthy boys, which kind of made me feel so angry when people were like, oh, but you're going for a girl. No. Just a healthy child.
Yeah.
Like,
that's not people's
mindset. That's all
mindset.
I want.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all so different. So you can't, like, just because he's a boy, like, you can't paint him blue and he's that.
Yeah.
He's completely, they're all different. So I just felt so incredibly lucky. And I did feel like I was pushing my luck. So I literally,
even later
on in pregnancy, I was literally going to the toilet, TMI here, but going to the toilet and expecting to see blood.
Yeah, but I think that's quite normal, isn't it, to think like that? And I know people say, well, you know, that doing that actually makes you more anxious, but actually you've got this big responsibility. You're carrying this life, you know, and there's all this expectation.
And being more aware. You know, I've done podcasts with women who have experienced stillbirth, so, you know, or babies have sadly passed away sort of days after giving birth. And I just feel like those are stories that we can't shy away from.
Mm-hmm.
Not listening to them doesn't mean that it's going to it's not going to happen to you. It might happen to you. It might happen to someone you know. And actually listening to things like that, it makes you more prepared in a strange way. Like now I know that, you know, they want to hear their baby's names.
Mm.
It's not like they never happened.
No.
And, you know, and knowing how to communicate, I think, is just so important.
Do you ever take on an anxiety of like, so say, for example, if I logged into my charity email inbox, I would see that 11 people have been burnt today in awful accidents. And obviously that's not a true representation of the probability of stepping out the door every day. I have to be really boundaried and not open that inbox every day and have a sort of people that it gets delegated to and psychologists, that kind of thing. Do you find it hard ever because you are doing very... I mean, you're doing brilliant things with your platform because it is hard hitting and it's informed and it's educated. But does it ever give you anxiety of like, this happens a lot, or this can easily happen and this is out of your control?
Yeah, that's why I felt anxious in this pregnancy, definitely.
Yeah.
Because I just, I felt more aware.
Yeah.
I guess why people kind of shut it away and kind of go, I can't even, you know, when that episode aired with Michelle and Elle, you know, I did have comments from people saying, I can't listen to that. I can't listen to that episode. But
which
that
is
episode
enough.
Is actually the one of the highest, like, listened.
Right.
You know, when you compare it to highest listened, I don't think that's good English, most listened.
Yeah.
But when you compare it to other, like, celebs and names that we've got on, it's really interesting that actually that was story-led and that had...
That hit home with people.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about your children. What about, you know, with you and Tom, you both have vlogged from very early on, and actually there's a beautiful video of your wedding where he like serenades you and I'm just like, oh, that's so lovely.
I'd like people to think that is us all the time.
Yes,
that he just,
course,
you know, brings a choir around. He just sings all about you all the time.
That's the perks of marrying someone who's talented like that, you know. But he's also been very honest about his own battles, which... I mean, we are seeing more of men talking. What was it like for you as the partner supporting somebody that was struggling? He talked about depression.
To be honest, it was a long time ago when he first got diagnosed. And we're talking like 12, 13 years.
Right.
And I think we were both relieved that there was something.
Mm-hmm.
That it wasn't just he was being a bit moody.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the way that we deal with it now is we just talk.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? When people talk about depression, they might talk about it in the past tense. And you think, well, actually, it's a bit of a roller coaster where you have great times.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it peaks a bit and it rears its head, but not necessarily at the same severity.
No.
But
and I think in his job as well, they sort of worked out that there was kind of a cycle to it. You know, they record an album, they're writing, they record an album, they go on tour. And his the cycles of his depression actually kind of looped in on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think even now, we just talk. And it's something that you just hope will never kind of, you know, take over.
Yeah. No, it's true. Well, if you didn't do what you did now, is there anything else you would have done, do you think?
Well, I guess I feel like I've done many things now because I started acting. That's how me and Tom met.
You went to Sylvia
school.
Young,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. And that's how we met on my first day. And I kind of feel like acting is still something that I will do.
Mm-hmm.
And the books and everything, it's all storytelling. Even, you know, Instagram and everything, it's storytelling. The podcast, it's storytelling.
Yeah.
But I think maybe working in a florist.
Oh,
I think
really?
I'd have a florist, yeah.
Creative.
But the boys just aren't into it.
Oh, because
they're not
more
running
outdoorsy.
Around. Yeah, if they're not running around jumping, they don't want to be sat at a table arranging flowers with me.
Yeah, that's the thing, because you get all this stuff out. We'll do that of art and craft. And my daughter starts off really enthusiastic. And then it's me making the Easter chick. And because I'm just like, I can't leave the Easter bonnet half done. I've got to finish it. And I'm just like, this is ridiculous. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you.
I've loved having you here, talking to my own Instagram story crush. It's been so nice. Normally I just watch. Now I can actually interact properly. So yeah, it's great. Thank you for coming. And thank you for all the bits you've shared today. I'm sure it's really going to help lots of other people.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Katie Piper's Extraordinary People. If you haven't already, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, please help us spread the word. Rate and review the show where you got this,
or share on socials.
I've been given some great advice in my life, so I wanted to share that with you in my new book, Things I'd Tell My Child. My book follows my journey into motherhood, but it also shares stories from my own mum and the experiences that she's had, the highs and the lows. This book was quite difficult for me to write in many ways, and my mum's comments were particularly emotional for me to read. But above all, I hope that you enjoy reading this very special book, Katie Piper, Things I Tell My Child.